Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Keenan Magnet, NASCAR Canadian Tire Series crew chief from Prince George, British Columbia, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on Speedway Radio Digest Network.
Hello and welcome to the May 14th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Mullally and myself will be giving you a glimpse into the world of the Red Bull Global Rallycross Series, as well as more news from the world of motorsports. First off, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the IndyCar qualifying that's going on, the time trials. As you've probably seen, they had some interesting things happen at Indianapolis over the past few days. The big thing that hit the news, of course, was the huge crash and spin by Helio Castroneves as he was going nearly 230 miles an hour and flipped over and flew through the air for a few minutes. It was definitely a good TV moment, but it is, as we've talked on this program at length before, the only time you see information about motorsports on most news programs is when there's a spectacular accident. Luckily, though, Castroneves was not hurt in the accident, and he was actually back on the track again yesterday afternoon in a backup car. Quite impressive, if you say so, if I do say so myself. And also, in other accident-related news, the gentleman from the Pro Stock Series who was injured at Palm Beach International Raceway has been transferred to the Jackson Memorial Hospital in Miami. I did a little piece on him on the SpeedwayDigest.com. Check out the racing news section. It gives information on how you can donate to his fill-in-the-gap coverage, because he does have lots of medical expenses. He's currently suffering damage to his spinal cord. He is able to feel all of his extremities, but he does have some pain and a little bit of numbness. So if you can check out SpeedwayDigest.com in the racing news section down at the bottom of the page, that will give you more information on that. Our first guest this evening is Kristen Kenny. Kristen Kenny is a passionate storyteller, host, activist, world explorer, and malaria fighter. She grew up a Navy brat, having traveled all over the states before landing in Virginia Beach. At a young age, Kristen knew she wanted to tell stories for a living. She went on to study broadcast journalism and played D1 soccer at Elon University in North Carolina before transferring to the University of Miami, where she earned her BS in communications. In 2007, Kristen found her professional voice as a correspondent for PBS in Orlando and quickly discovered her passion for social enterprise and inspiring others to make a difference. As a former Division I athlete, Kristen always has a passion for those human interest sports stories like the Million Dollar Arm. She began her sports broadcast career with Fox Sports Next. As a college football recruiting correspondent in Washington, D.C., she broke several national stories on the recruiting front while also creating original content for Fox Sports Digital. Shortly after, she was selected to cover the London 2012 Olympics, and her career blossomed from there. Today, she enjoys her new role as a pit reporter for the Red Bull Global Rallycross Series on NBC and hosts for Altered Course on the Golf Channel. Kristen will give us some information on the Red Bull Global Rallycross Series, which is going to make its season debut on the beaches of Fort Lauderdale at the end of the month. Should be quite an interesting race. I know they've never had a professional race on the beach in Fort Lauderdale. At about that time, they used to have an air show on the beach in Fort Lauderdale called the Air and Sea Show, which was pretty impressive. It drew more than 1 million people to the beaches of Fort Lauderdale. I don't think the Red Bull Global Rallycross Series will bring 1 million people to the beach, but you never know. I'm sure they'd be really happy if they had that many people show up for their race. We shall see. We've got a big program scheduled for this evening. In addition to Kristen, we have a few different drivers who are going to be on the program. And we'll have some more drivers from the series on in the future, including Patrick Sandell and Colette Davis. Both of them had prior commitments and are unable to join us this evening. We're also going to have Sean Jones on in the future, who's the co-owner of the Brian Herta Autosport, the Brian Herta Rally Sport team, which is going to be making their debut in the Red Bull Global Rallycross Series this year. We'd now like to welcome Kristen Kenny to the program.
Here.
Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, Adam, how's it going?
Not too bad. First off, how did you first get involved in sports broadcasting?
Oh, all right. Well, gosh, it's always been a passion of mine, actually. I went to University of Miami and studied broadcast journalism when I was there, and I played college soccer, so I always grew up around sports and have been competitive and playing D1, and so it just was a natural fit, actually. I fell in love with the storytelling component and, more of those feature stories, and then it stuck with me, and I got lucky, I guess. It's, rare to say that you do something that you major in, and, it's definitely become a career for me, and I'm thrilled that it's become, something that I do every day, getting to cover athletes and stories, and it's wonderful.
How would you describe the Red Bull Global Rallycross Series?
Wow. Well, I had little knowledge on the series before coming on board in 2014, and I had come from more of a traditional sports background covering college football. So Red Bull Global Rallycross is amazing. I've never seen anything like it. It is quick, fast-paced, high-energy, high-octane. It's not like your traditional motorsports. It's such a diverse group of drivers, so drivers from X Games, action sports background, and then, of course, traditional tarmac drivers like Scott Speed, the guys from Formula One, and NASCAR. So you put all of that in Red Bull GRC, and it's just action-packed, adrenaline. I mean, literally, like I said, there's nothing like it because it's about 3 minute to 4 minute heats. It goes so quickly, contact, so, a lot of rubbing, and we like that in motorsports. And then it's also mixed surface, so you see about, sometimes 70% tarmac and 30% dirt with dirt jumps, and it's really fun and really engaging. So there really isn't a motorsport property that exists like Red Bull Global Rallycross.
What are you most looking forward to at the season opener in Fort Lauderdale?
I am so excited, Adam, to get back out there and get in the paddock area when I hear those engines, when the 600 horses start revving up. And there's nothing like it, that sound, the energy, the smell of being in the paddock, in the pits, being with such a great group of a great team, from everyone, including the GRC staff, the Red Bull staff, NBC, our drivers, the manufacturers, the sponsors. Just when we all get together, it's a family feel. And, it's awesome. I just can't wait to – it's like we've been counting down the days for Fort Lauderdale, and it's going to be so incredible to see everybody back in action. This year is going to be crazier than ever because we're welcoming a whole new team, Ganassi. The legendary Ganassi team is joining us, and also Brian Herta. So we have two Indy 500-winning teams coming into this series this year. So really the competition is going to be full force. The field is going to be competitive, more so than last year. I can't wait to see what Ken Block brings this year because I know he's got to be hungry after last season and barely getting, almost there to winning the whole championship. So, it's so close. And then Yoni barely getting the championship. So it'll be really interesting to see all of the drivers return and hungry for that prize. I think Fort Lauderdale is going to be really cool because it's right on the water. I mean, it's awesome. We're going to be at that marina. It's so Red Bull GRC style for the fans to be very up close and personal, to have a great venue. It's just, I cannot wait to get back out there for so many reasons.
I know the season hasn't really started yet, but who's your favorite for series champion in 2015?
Oh, man. What do you think about that?
I think that Brian Herta Autosport might be a good pick for the championship, simply because they've got quite the interesting group of drivers who are going to be with them this year, and they're really interested in in performing well, especially with the fact that they're spending lots of money on different aspects of the team. I think they have a pretty good pick for the championship this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting because there's a couple of teams that have mixed it up. I mean, now Austin and Patrick being teammates, they really can complement one another. Patrick is more, he's a very patient driver and a very, a coach basically. He's an amazing coach because he does run the rally school in Sweden. So he's going to be a great mentor for somebody like Austin. But, you know, and Austin being able, they come from totally different backgrounds. So Austin is more of that traditional tarmac guy. And then you have Patrick, who comes from rally. And last year, Patrick showed a lot of promise, Austin as well, making it to, I think, almost every main event. Mm-hmm. So it'll be really neat to see how the two complement each other this year, especially being behind the M Sport, you know, and all the money that's gone into that car in particular. You know, Ken Block really was the only one with that car last year, and we saw the speed and the capability that car has to be able to perform at the highest level, and he almost won that championship with that car. So you have Brian Herta with the M Sport this year, and a lot of testing going in. So that's something that the guys didn't get a lot of last year, if any, but they're testing a lot. You have Ganassi, again, with M Sport, and they're testing in a unique dynamic with Brian Deegan being an action sports legend and kind of the bad boy with partnered with Steve Arpin, who is, again, more of that traditional style, but he did do that. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of off-road racing before in Canada, but the two of them will really complement each other. So those two teams, I think, it's going to be really interesting to see what they bring because they have such a history in motorsports to begin with. And I think they may have the right ingredients to produce winning teams. But you still have OMSE, and OMSE, you know, with Johnny Weeman last year, you saw what they can do, and this will be his second year in supercars. So, and he won last year in his first season with supercars. So I know it's going to be really competitive. And, of course, we can't leave out the Volkswagen and the Beetle.
Yeah.
You know, that's last year we saw them with the Polo, and they were not supposed to run the Polos that long with Tanner and Scott. So, and it was a development year, really, for the Beetle and Tanner Fowle. So, you know, he is a two-time series champion. I really think he's going to want to come out, and now after testing that Beetle, and it should be a bigger beast, a badder beast this year, it'll be really exciting.
It should be.
And well, yeah, I'm excited. I just can't wait to see. You'll see a lot Fort Lauderdale. It will really kind of be able to see what the teams have been able to do in the offseason. And, man, I am just counting down the days.
When you're not involved in the Global Rallycross and on the your coverage on the Golf Channel, how do you spend your free time?
You know, I don't really have a lot of free time. Yeah, few and far between. But, look, I love to be outdoors as much as possible. I'm an outdoors junkie and yoga, so whenever I can get outside, that's great. I am taking golf lessons twice a week now. So that's when I have free time, I'm doing that. But I also have a nonprofit that it's volunteer-driven. It's, you know, a very small passion project called Malaika for Life. And we sell bracelets made by women in Africa. And when we sell the bracelets, the proceeds provide life-saving malaria medicine for children in Africa. Malaria is a cause that's near and dear to me because I had malaria when I was in Africa, and I almost died from it. So when I have free time, I'm you know, fulfilling orders. We have an online website and it's an e-commerce site where people can choose their colors and bracelets, and they're made by a group of women in Tanzania, so it's pretty cool because it supports the women there, and then we are able to also give back to the malaria cause. So that takes a lot of time, though, but I do it as much as I can with the limited time that I have. So, yeah, that keeps me busy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
What other forms of racing do you follow aside from the Red Bull series?
You know, I've been following a little bit more because motorsports is something I just got into last year in 2014. I went to the Grand Prix, Long Beach Grand Prix. That was awesome, incredible. It's great to be able to compare different events to our event. And, of course, NASCAR, you know, I've been able to know with Ganassi on board. I was able to join the Ganassi guys out in on pit row, actually, for a couple races. And then, yeah, so I mean, I guess I like it all. But really, I like the quick, fast-paced sports that, like, what our series offers. Because, again, like our millennial market, my attention span is very short. So, you know, sitting through a four-hour race is a little challenging for me. But, yeah, so I love anything that's fast and quick heats and Red Bull Signature Series. You know, I love catching up with that. And you know, I do watch a little more, a lot of golf nowadays, and basketball fan, college football fan. But racing, I mean, I like it all. I definitely am interested in all of it. But, yeah, I prefer, if I'm going to sit down on the couch and watch something, I like the quicker, you know, rally cross genre.
You should have you should have Nelson Piquet take you to one of the Formula E races. Those are pretty cool, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, I would love that. You know, I've never been. So that would be really cool to try to see what that's like. Have you been? Did you go to the Miami one?
Yeah, I went
one?
I went to the one in Miami. That was actually pretty neat. The fact that the cars are quiet. Our vacuum cleaner here at the house is louder than those cars. But it was still pretty impressive.
You know, that would be so weird. I've never heard it live or been there live, like I said. But part of the whole thing for me, as now becoming a fan of motorsports and racing, the sound, like I was saying, the sound of the cars. And when I hear that, it's like, okay, I know here we are, the season has come. And it's just, it provides such an adrenaline rush that without that, it's kind of interesting to see how that would play out. I mean, if it's silent, do you hear the crowds? Are the crowds noisy? I mean, what is that atmosphere like at an F1 race?
They've got like a DJ. They call him an EJ.
Okay.
Who has a background music thing. So it's kind of interesting.
That's pretty cool.
A lot different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet that's so different. We'll have to talk to Nelson. Hopefully you can chat with him about the differences. And same with Scott, too. Scott Steve races in Formula E as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the toughest part about your job?
Oh, man, what is the toughest part? I like to joke around and always say hair and makeup. it's so random because I'm such a tomboy usually. And I grew up a tomboy and playing sports. So when I was first at Fox Sports Digital, that's where I cracked into covering sports. And I would just show up, and I was a one-woman show, and I'd show up with no makeup, like maybe a little mascara here and there. And then now it's, you know, a whole process. So being the balance between, like, being a girl covering sports and actually just getting in the trenches and running around and sweating, it's sometimes an interesting mix. and it's been an adjustment for me because I'm so just used to going and on the fly. But that's more funny. I think it's always a challenge when you're trying to keep up with the pace. It's so different for me going from the pace and the rhythm of covering hoops or college football to covering racing, and particularly Red Bull Global Rallycross, because you really have to find a whole new rhythm. When are you going to do those interviews? How do you run from position A to position B to make sure you're getting all the storylines? You have to be really in five places at once, which is impossible, and it happens so fast. Like I said, our heats are done in 3 minutes and 30 seconds, and you have to go from like point A to point B to point C. And it's really hard, and it's hard to see that from the TV standpoint. Like, you'll see me pop up, but getting there, the to and from, is very difficult. And, you know, trying to capture all those storylines that are happening in the paddock. You know, there are people patching the cars together with duct tape, and they have a turnaround of 10 minutes. I mean, it's amazing what the mechanics do and those unsung heroes that get these cars ready to go. Because without them, they may not make it into the next heat. They may not make it into the last chance qualifier. And they may possibly miss out on the final. And we saw that happen with Nelson Piquet Jr. in the final. And trying to get from, you know, your interview location and quickly getting to that back to that pit where that action is happening, and it's one person, it's a lot. So it's just so much happening when you don't have a four-hour race. You know, you don't have that four-hour window, and you're not designated to one particular area. You're all throughout the entire pit, just one person. So I think that's the hardest thing is finding that rhythm and, you know, allowing the viewers to be pulled in to hear those stories that you want to tell and making that come to life. But, I mean, it's awesome once we get it, you know, because you feel that raw emotion when we interviewed Nelson and he missed out on that final and, you know, he's in tears on camera. And, you know, that's that raw emotion that you can capture. So I just hope this season and what we will do is bring more of that to the fans and trying to find that balance between, you know, getting those interviews but then also getting – having the time to really get those stories that you don't see on camera. So, yeah, that's probably the biggest battle.
I know that 2014 was your first season covering the Red Bull Global Rallycross, but what was your favorite racing memory from last year?
Oh, man. I love being at Dirtfish. That was so cool. When those cars would drive through that old, what was it, the warehouse. I mean, that was just so neat. I've never seen anything like that. That was pretty amazing. The final of Vegas, I don't know if you saw it, but with Ken doing donuts, like his own Gymkhana video around Johnny Weeman when he won the championship. You know, Ken won that final in Vegas, but he, because Johnny finished second, Johnny won the points championship. So it was pretty cool, the two of them out there celebrating together. That was an epic moment. I think those are two exciting moments. You know, the first race I covered was Barbados. And I'm sure you remember Ken Block flipping his car and landing on his roof. Now, that was not a moment I was like, that wasn't an exciting moment at all. But I remember that was my first time ever being out there, and that was shocking. And I'll always remember that because 10 minutes earlier, I'm chatting with his kids and his wife in the paddock, and then you see an accident like that. And I guess that's, you know, with our roll cage and the protection we have, they're fine. But that was my first race ever seeing that, and that was, you know, very, very shocking. So, but yeah, there's a lot of great moments, and I think it'll be Fort Lauderdale will provide many more for our first race.
What race are you most looking forward to this year?
I really can't wait to see what we do with Lauderdale. I think that's awesome because part of it is a street race, and we haven't done that. So I think that's going to be amazing, and just being on the water, what a great backdrop. So I think that's what I'm most looking forward to. Also, the hype with the first race, there's some storylines coming into that first race. And I also think we're going to have a race at a military base, which we haven't unveiled that location yet, but the base will be really cool because it's the 4th of July weekend, and I just think that would, I mean, that's just going to be an epic event. That'll be it's just going to be epic to celebrate the 4th of July and honor our soldiers and people who fight for our country and have a race. I mean, it's just so Americana. So those are two that I can't wait to get back to. And, I mean, Barbados, Bushy Park with the fans, some of the best fans. So that one, too. And who doesn't want to go to Barbados? Work on my suntan.
There you go. Fort Lauderdale Beach, and then go down to Barbados. You're all set.
Oh, yeah, right? And then back to Vegas. Not too shabby.
Yep. There you go.
I know. What about you? Are you going to come to Lauderdale?
Yeah, I'm thinking about coming down to Fort Lauderdale. I think that'll be pretty neat. I've seen it on TV, but I've never actually gone to one of the Red Bull Global Rallycross races. So.
Oh, yeah, you got to come down. Seeing it in person's totally different. It's so cool because you get to actually, I don't know, did you notice that the paddock's open for general admission? Every person can walk through the paddock and the pits and go up and meet the drivers, get pictures, get autographs. So you get to actually, as a spectator, watch as they're doing transmission swaps and, you know, fixing things on the car. If you're lucky, you get to see them do an engine swap, you know. So all of that is so cool because it's right there happening in front of you, and it's like your own one-on-one little opportunity to see it up close and personal.
And how would people go about buying tickets to the Fort Lauderdale race?
Well, if you go to our website, RedBullGlobalRallyCross.com, you'll see we have a ticketing tab. So I would direct everyone just to our website where it'll say buy tickets, and it'll have our schedule, and then you can buy the tickets right there.
Well, cool. Thank you very much for coming on the program, and I look forward to meeting you down in Fort Lauderdale at the end of the month.
Perfect. I cannot wait to see you. That'll be so much fun. So thank you so much for having me on, too. And you're talking with the Brian Herter folks next?
I'm talking with Jackie Heinricher next.
Oh,
will be
Jackie.
One of the light series.
You got to ask her about her music video. She shot her first ever music video in L.A. She did spectacular. And Patrick Sandell was her coach, or helping her out. Not her coach, but he was definitely giving her some pointers. It was kind of cool as they were racing each other around the track.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, tell her hello. And
I will.
I'll see you in Fort Lauderdale. I'll see you there, too.
Cool. Thank you. Have a nice
All
evening.
Right. Thanks, Adam. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Our next guest this evening is Jackie Heinricher. Jackie currently competes in Ferrari Challenge, the 2015 Red Bull Global Rallycross Light Series, and races domestically with Jim Russell Racing in Formula 3 Open Wheel Racing. As a founder of Bouchut, Heinricher built a company that leads the world in the development of new plant multiplication science. Bouchut led to the production of innovative forestry and ag plants on a commercial scale. Heinricher launched the company when she divided plants by hand in her garage in Anacortes, Washington, before eventually growing Bouchut into a successful biotechnology concern. She earned her Master's of Science degree from Tennessee Tech University. She has authored numerous patents and articles for peer-reviewed journals and has been featured in the Seattle Times, New York Times, NPR, and Reader's Digest, among many more, including tonight's episode of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. Now we'd like to welcome Jackie to the program. Hello, how are you doing this evening? Jackie, are you there? Hello? Jackie Heinricher, are you on the line? I see your number, but I don't hear you. Hello? Well, appears like we have a connection issue with Jackie. And she has dropped. So we're going to have to wait a few more minutes until Jackie calls back. Or I have her number. I can give her a call in a few moments. So do you read up on the Red Bull Global Rallycross Series and all ready for tonight's program?
I'm going to be honest. I completely forgot. But, I mean, I've read like some of the stuff that you've posted and stuff, so I'm not completely in the dark.
That's good. Now let's try and see if Jackie's on the line again. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
That's good. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being here.
What's your favorite part about being a race car driver?
Oh, by far it's just the incredible challenge, the emotional, physical, mental challenge of learning to race a car, putting it all together, and then taking that into a competitive format. It's just an incredibly exhilarating experience.
How would you describe the Red Bull Global Rallycross Series?
Well, I would say it's a very innovative series. It's exhilarating. There's a lot going on. For drivers inside the car, there's a lot going on. It's multi-surface. And for spectators viewing it from the outside, there's exciting things going on. So I just see it as a really unique race series and one that's challenging and very exciting for myself.
What's your favorite stop on the circuit?
It's going to be by far the first stop, Fort Lauderdale. It'll be my first GRC race. And my first race in the series, and I'm going to learn a lot, and I'm really geared up to be able to go and enjoy the race there.
Do you have any race day rituals?
Not anything in particular. I like to walk a bit and listen to favorite music, but otherwise really just concentrate and prepare myself to go do battle.
Why did you decide to become a race car driver?
I was invited to do a couple of car programs several years ago, I guess, and it just it's something that caught my attention, and I kept practicing and doing other programs and eventually got my racing license. And today I'm racing several different series and really enjoying the challenge.
I'd now like to throw it out to my co-host, Michael Mullally in Everett, in Ephrata, Washington, who has a few questions for you as well.
What is your favorite racing memory?
Well, by far for me, it was last year racing Road America with my Ferrari. I literally, it's It was a track that I just, it became one of my favorite tracks. I took to the track very well. It was one of the races where I really excelled, got in front of the field. So for me, that's a very memorable race for me at this point.
Is there high stress levels on race day? If so, how do you deal with that stress?
There's definitely butterflies and anticipation. I just try to focus on my job and the racing and the excitement and harness that energy for what I'm about to go do when it's time to go.
If you could describe what you do in one word, what word would you use to describe it?
For me, that word would probably be process. I just try to process as much input as I can and then take those inputs and try to channel those into learning and becoming better at what I do. So process for me would probably be very accurate.
You said that you've raced a couple different series. Of the series that you have raced, which one has been your favorite so far?
You know, it's really hard to pick because they're different platforms. One's an incredible car, the Ferrari 458, is fast, and I've raced great places like Daytona. But I have to say I'm pretty fond of open-wheel racing, and so the Jim Russell Summer Series with the Formula 3 has been extremely exciting for me, and I've learned a lot by doing it.
If you could change one thing about the world of motorsports, like one thing just in general, what would you change? Like in your personal opinion, what would you change?
Wow, that's a loaded question. I personally enjoy the world of motorsports. I think spectators enjoy it. So for me, as a newcomer, it's really hard to pinpoint any one thing. But for me, I'm just happy to engage in charity work and engage fans and send out more educational messages using this platform. And so perhaps maybe that's the answer.
Kristen Kenny wanted me to ask you about your music video you shot with Patrick Sandell. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was exciting, my first music video. It was a lot of fun. We were up at Willow Springs, which is California, and it was a great experience with a great singer and just a lot of sort of jockeying around the track. Great guy, Patrick, so I got to meet him. It was a wonderful experience, the first time for me, so it was a great time. And I got to give Kristen a hot lap, so it was even more fun.
I know you mentioned you race in the in open wheel racing. Have you ever had any aspirations to go to Indianapolis and possibly race in one of the Indy Lights or one of the Indy cars?
I wish I'd started karting a little bit sooner, but yeah, I mean, obviously it would be something I would have loved to have done. I'm not sure it's in the cards, but you can never say never, and after watching some of the practice recently, it's a little scary out there, but what those guys do is just, it's remarkable, and once I started doing Formula 3, I guess I started to really understand what they're doing and have huge respect for it, so I'll just keep pushing, see where it leads.
Well, wish you lots of luck in Fort Lauderdale and for the rest of the season, and hope you have a great racing year.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Once again, that was Jackie Heinricher. We thank her very much for coming on the program. She races in the Light Series of the Red Bull Global Rallycross, which will be making their debut on May 30th in the streets of Fort Lauderdale, down near the beach. Should be quite the race. You go to the Red Bull Global Rallycross website and check out information for tickets. So I hear that this past weekend, the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder was a topic of discussion at a Freda Raceway.
That it was. It was kind of nice because I feel like, you know, I mean, like I have all of these racers from Freda on my Facebook, but I feel like they kind of just blow it off. Like, you know, we post a lot of stuff about Thursday Night Thunder, and I feel like they kind of just like, oh, whatever. So it was kind of nice to, like, I don't know, not like necessarily get them involved, but get like the racetrack more involved, because I feel like it gave everyone else a better perspective of like what Thursday Night Thunder really is. So I kind of feel like that was the push we needed to get it out here.
That's good. As I said, we'll try and do it again in June, probably about a month from now. We can try and have another episode dedicated to the racing at the Freda Raceway. And if any of you racers from the Freda Raceway are interested in coming on the program, please go to the Facebook page for facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder and send me a message on there, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. You can also contact Michael. I know a lot of you are friends with her, and she'll set it up too. Looking forward to talking with you. Our next guest tonight is Alejandro Fernandez, but unfortunately I did not get a confirmation that Alejandro will be on the program. I have my fingers crossed, knocking on wood and everything, that he will be on the show this evening. Alejandro Fernandez has a relationship here with South Florida. He's raced in the Florida Winter Tour. He was born and raised in Bogota, Colombia, and has always been involved in the racing community. Starting at a very young age and for many years, Alejandro raced BMX with his brothers. After many accomplishments in the BMX world, Alejandro decided to take on his racing in a new journey. His career in the world of motorsports began at age 16, when his family bought him his first go-kart as a birthday present. 2 months later, Alejandro began to race in his first competition in the United States.
He has raced in several championships. For example, he raced in championships like Challenge of the Americas, California Pro Kart Challenge, the USA Pro Tour, the Florida Winter Tour, and the Los Angeles Kart Championship, as well as championships in his homeland, including the Rotex Max Challenge, Colombia, and La Carrera de la Estrella, which is organized by the
Fundación Sonrisas.
Yes, in Medellin. Sorry, my bad. Sorry, I'm really sorry. Actually, Alejandro Fernandez is race car driver at Red Bull Global Rallycross in the GRC Light class. Alejandro is the only Colombian and Latin American race car driver in this championship.
We're hoping to welcome him to the program shortly. He is scheduled to be on in about 5 minutes. We're also hoping to have a few of the members of the Latin American community who also have some connections to Miami from the IndyCar series, which I've reached out to in the past few days. They are having a media event on Tuesday, and as this is Thursday Night Thunder, not Tuesday Thunder, there's a little bit of a conflict there. Their media event is actually also during the middle of the day. But I did reach out to their PR people, and I am hopeful that at least one of them will be on the program in the future. So, should be pretty good. Have you been following any of the IndyCar time trials that have been going on the past few days?
No. We actually haven't really been home a lot the last few days. But, I mean, I know that doesn't mean I can't follow it on my phone or something. So, I guess I'm a really bad co-host.
Terrible. Yeah, it's been a pretty interesting time in Indianapolis the past couple of days. They had a few spectacular crashes, as our last guest there was alluding to. They had the one yesterday that made the news this morning, that where Pedro Castroneves had a flip at 225 miles an hour, flew about 30 feet in the air at the highest point, and then landed back on the ground. So he got out and kicked the car and walked away and got in the backup car later in the afternoon. So, professional race car driver that he is and all that.
Wow.
And then they also have had a few crashes. They had one, I believe they had one today. It might have been yesterday with Pippa Mann in the... it's a car that's sponsored by the Komen Foundation, the breast cancer charity there. They don't have a lot of money, so they really can't afford to hit the wall as hard as she did. But she did. And hopefully she didn't do too much damage to the car, and hopefully they have a backup car that will be able to qualify for the Indy 500 this weekend. But you never know. There's a lot of teams in IndyCar that have some pretty light budgets and not the sort of equipment that can afford to be damaged. They've got, according to the press release I received the other day, they have 34 cars registered for 33 drivers. And Indianapolis starts 33 cars, so they're pretty tight with the driver car lineup for this year, and that's not always a good thing, especially for the bubble day and all the qualifying stuff they have on. Doesn't make for the most exciting television, but hopefully it makes for a good race, and that's all that really matters in the end.
Yeah. I've always wondered why they don't. Because doesn't NASCAR usually start, like, 40 cars or something?
Mm-hmm. So NASCAR starts 43 cars.
Yeah. That's
sort of a tradition.
So,
Plus, it doesn't... The field there, you can't really fit any more than 33 IndyCar-style cars on that track safely. They disrupt the air quite a bit, when they get spread out, and they can't get too close to each other, because if you have them hit into each other, it's not like in NASCAR where you just bump the car off. If those cars run into each other, they go flying, and it's not very pretty. So, as was evidenced by last weekend, where they started in the first lap and they had an 8-car pileup in the first turn. They're trying to be a little bit too much like NASCAR drivers, a little bit too much bumping there, and those cars are definitely not made for that.
I guess that makes sense.
Maybe they've been watching a little bit too much Demolition Derby from our guest from last week. You never know.
Yeah. Well, I guess in NASCAR, too, you can rub a little bit, door to door. You can't really do that in an IndyCar because it's more tire to tire.
Yep. That's not a good thing.
I guess I could see how that's kind of dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Now, they don't attempt it every so often, but when they do, it's generally not a pleasant thing.
Yeah. My nephew's been at my house quite a bit the last couple of days, and he always comes in and turns on YouTube, and he's seven. He'll be seven in like 2 days. But anyways, he looks up race car crashes because, and anyways, there's a couple pretty good IndyCar ones that we've seen I don't really watch a lot of IndyCar. Me and my dad watch the Indy 500 like every year, but aside from that, I don't watch a lot of IndyCar, so like those crashes looked pretty intense.
They are. They're definitely a little too intense. And it depends on the type of racetrack as well, because the IndyCars when they have a wreck on road courses, on temporary street courses, that sort of thing, they're generally not as spectacular as the ones in the speedways, because when they race on the temporary street courses, all they've got is room for two cars, and they have a crash, and they block up the whole track, and you have to stop and clean it up and everything else. But on the speedways, they just go, and it's sometimes like at Indianapolis has sometimes the same sort of reputation as tracks like Daytona or Talladega, where you end up with a really big accident at least one point during the race, and that can be definitely a highlight reel type of accident. But we're hoping for a clean race this year. And as I said, I'm hoping that Gabby Travis, who was a past guest on the program, does pretty well. In other past guest news, Sean Rahal, who was on this program sometime late last year, he had his IndyCar debut in the Indy Lights race at the Freedom 100 at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and he actually ended up winning that event. So congratulations to Sean Rahal. I did a small article on that for Speedway Digest, which you can find in the racing news section of SpeedwayDigest.com. So congratulations to Sean Rahal. I've also had quite a bit of coverage for the past few days about the IndyCar time trials there at Indianapolis. I have another article that's sitting there and waiting for me to publish as soon as this show is over about today's times at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So at probably 10 o'clock tonight, you can go to SpeedwayDigest.com, check out the racing news section, and there'll be another highlights about the day at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. They've been actually really lucky there this year. There hasn't been any rain. The weather's been nice. It's been relatively cool. So not too cold, but not blazing hot either. And the cars have been having lots of horsepower. And that increase of horsepower definitely leads to some people making mistakes. And we've seen those so far this week, and hopefully they get those out of their system so it's a nice, clean race next week. Actually, I think it's like 2 weeks, isn't it? But hopefully it's a nice, clean race. So I saw that you're going to repaint your race car for the Ephrata Speedway. What's your new color scheme for this year?
Well, it's still going to have some pink in it, but it's not going to be like pink, like, wow, that's pink, like it is now. It's going to be, the base color is going to be pink, but there's going to be some blue and some white and some black. Almost like it is right now, except the lines and everything are going to be a little bit different. Actually, a lot different. So, but I will definitely be posting pictures when it's finished. And, yeah.
Do you have faith that your engine's going to be running well this week?
To be completely honest with you, I'm not sure. It's kind of up in the air right now. I mean, we had it. It was running a couple days ago, and we ran it for about 15 minutes. And we're still having a little bit of an issue with it getting hot. But then again, we weren't, you know, we just had it in the garage running. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be running fine. So I guess Saturday will be the true test.
And what time is your race on Saturday?
6.
Yep. As we've stated before in this program, be sure to go out and support your local racetrack. So if you're in the central Washington area, head out to Ephrata Raceway and see your co-host Michael Mullally zoom around the track. Fingers crossed.
I don't usually believe in, like, like knocking on wood and stuff like that. But in this case, if I say something wrong, everybody better knock on wood for me.
Need to go and get your pink rabbit's foot and stick it inside the car.
Yeah.
As I stated, we're hoping that Alejandro Fernandez does call in, but apparently he has not called in as of yet. In about 10 minutes, scheduled from right now, we've got another driver who's going to be on the program, Austin Dine from Brian Herta Rally Sport. He's going to be on this evening. Colette Davis, who was supposed to be on the program this evening, has had a cancellation. She's on an airplane and will be rescheduled for a future date. As will Patrick Sandel, who is just off an airplane and is kind of jet-lagged today. As his PR rep told me, if we had him on this, this evening, it'd be as if he was talking to us at 4 o'clock in the morning. And nobody really wants to talk to anybody at 4 o'clock in the morning unless they absolutely have to. And I'd prefer to have him more awake when he's on the program in the future. We also have Sean Jones, who's going to be on the program with us at some time in the future. He's the co-owner of Brian Herta Autosport. So that should be pretty cool. On the topic of owners, next week's guest is going to be the owner of the Racers Group, Kevin Buckler. And he's going to talk a little bit about NASCAR and an awful lot about the Pirelli World Challenge, which is where most of their racing, at least in his team, takes place now. He's partnered with Aston Martin. And they have a four-car effort that they race in the Pirelli World Challenge. But we can ask him a little bit about NASCAR, a little bit about sports cars, and a little bit about Pirelli World Challenge, and see how his series is going with that, and whether he's going to return to NASCAR anytime in the future. I know the Racers Group in the past has been sort of like I suppose you can call it a cooperative, where the drivers actually own a small piece of the race team, which is actually a pretty cool way of doing things. And hopefully that's a model that other teams will adopt. But you never know. So who's your pick for the All-Star race in Charlotte this weekend?
I would say Kyle Busch, but I don't know. He's been gone for a while, so, like, you know, it takes time to readjust, I guess. That doesn't really make sense. So, that's a good question. I'm going to say my pick for the All-Star race is Kevin Harvick.
You didn't go with Joey Logano. The whole world is going to fall apart now.
I know. But, I mean, he's kind of like automatically like the first option, you know? Like, he's kind of just grandfathered in.
Okay. Yeah, I think that the...
Sorry.
Yeah, I'd go with your first choice. I think Kyle Busch is the one who is going to be the favorite for that race, simply because he hasn't been in the race car for a while, and I think he's driven to go back to victory lane again, especially since he hasn't been announced for any Xfinity races later on in the season. And I think he's trying to go straight to victory lane after having a non-existent season so far this year. He has something to prove.
Been pretty weird without his chaos.
Yeah, I know I mentioned it before, but I was only a few pit boxes away from where he was pitting in the Xfinity race in Daytona, and that was pretty intense when his wife there basically dove off the top of the pit box and ran towards the infield care center with a really shocked look on his face and on her face there. And that's really nothing compared to look in the face of Kyle Busch when he got out of the car and probably realized that he had a little bit of the bone of his leg sticking out through his fire suit. That's not a happy thing to realize, I wouldn't think. And that's probably the reason why he fell down so quickly.
I don't think anybody ever wants to realize that they have bones sticking out of their leg.
No, it's not a very happy thing, I wouldn't think.
No.
And you haven't really heard that they've made any adjustments to the car since then, and I think that there's only so much they can do to the walls, and there's only so much they can do to the car. So I think you just sort of hit the wrong place, wrong time, all those sort of things, and just a bad luck for Mr. Kyle Busch. But hopefully he has a string of good luck for the rest of the season, and he'll be able to bow to all the people in the grandstands at least sometime in the near future.
Yeah. Well, and you're right. Like, you know, you can do all of these safety things to your car, and you can do all of these safety things to the track, but, you know, you can't, I don't know, like, you know, crazy things happen, like, unexpectedly.
What's the craziest thing that ever happened to you in a race car?
The craziest thing that has ever happened to me was a couple seasons ago. The green flag had just dropped for the main event, which is usually 30 laps. And we were about 3 laps in, and I was having the greatest night of my racing career. Like, I was up in the action, and I was just passing cars, and it was cool. And anyways, I was coming around turn 1 and 2, and a car spun out in front of me, and I didn't notice it until I got up there, and I went to swerve around it, and I plowed into another car, and my car was airborne, and it landed on top of a car that was just, you know, wrong place at the wrong time, and the car ended up burning up all the wiring and everything, and the car was literally on top of the car, and it was like, you know, like rocking back and forth because it was on top of another car, and I could see it smoking because under the hood I could see everything smoking, and everyone told me to stay in the car. I was like, why would I stay in the car when it's smoking right there? You know, like, that doesn't make sense, but yeah, that was pretty cool. It sucked at the time. It hurt, like, a lot. But now that I look back, it's kind of cool.
You should have that should be something your nephew watches on YouTube every week.
Yeah, he actually ended up watching, because my mom got it on video, and he actually watched that video for, like, hours at a time, so, like, the next season. It was crazy.
And next, we'd like to welcome Austin Dine to the program. He is all set to become the rising star in the Red Bull Global Rallycross Championship Series and is determined to make his mark. Already a Rookie of the Year winner in the NASCAR K&N Pro Series West Tour, a title achieved in the past by NASCAR legends such as Chad Little and David Gilliland, there's every reason to believe that Austin Dine will be challenging for podium honors in his new chosen series. There is no question Austin grew up loving motorsports. Ever since he was young, he had a natural talent for action sports and racing. He now races in one of the most popular growing action sports on television, the Red Bull Global Rallycross.
Austin began his pursuit of becoming a race car driver in 2007, racing go-karts, winning his first race in his debut season. Moving up to Formula Cars in 2010, he scored his first victory at Lime Rock Park in the Skip Barber Eastern Championship in 2011. At just 19 years of age, he advanced to stock cars and competed in the late model circuit at Irwindale Speedway. A favorite personality in the paddock and a fast driver on the racetrack, these attributes have led him to the professional ranks of the NASCAR K&M Pro Series in 2012, where 2 top 5 and 8 top 10 finishes earned him the coveted Rookie of the Year title. The following year, Austin's diversified racing talents started to shine, and he found himself not only competing in the NASCAR K&M Pro Series East, but also cutting his teeth in the Global Rallycross Lights, the stepping stone series to Global Rallycross Supercars.
Austin is one of the new drivers for Brian Herta Rally Sport, and he'll be on the program in about 2 minutes. The Brian Herta Autosport people have been very helpful in the past few weeks. They've offered up lots of people who are going to be on the program in the near future, and wish them lots of success. Hopefully they have a good year. As I discussed earlier with Chris and Kenny, they're one of the favorites for the title, with Patrick Sandel, who has a rally school in Europe, and Austin Dine, who has had some asphalt experience, especially in NASCAR. But the combination of the two, they should do really well in the series this year, and they should do pretty well in Fort Lauderdale in a couple of weeks. And we look forward to seeing how well they end up doing. We'd now like to welcome Austin Dine to the program. Hey, how are you doing this evening?
Good. Yourself?
Not too bad. First off, what are you most looking forward to this year?
A lot of things. I guess first off, just being in a new car this year is definitely looking forward to that. Last year in an old, pretty old car, so it's been looking forward to that for a while.
Aside from yourself, who are the drivers to watch out for in 2015?
I don't know. I think with our new team and stuff, we're going to be pretty good. I mean, we have a little bit to learn, but I think we have a really good group of guys. And between me and my teammate, I think we'll be pretty good compared to the rest of the field.
How would you compare driving in the NASCAR K&N series to competing in the Red Bull Global Rallycross Series?
It's quite different. The races definitely are much longer than the NASCAR stuff, and it's a lot longer versus the GRC stuff, where have a lot of heat races, and it's really short, like, races, but they're very very chaotic every lap, just because you don't have many laps to get past them, so everyone is very aggressive, and it makes for a pretty contact sport, but definitely a lot of fun.
What's your favorite part about driving a race car?
That's a hard question. I mean, just going fast, just pushing a car to its limit, I guess, just being able to do that every single lap, where on the street you can't really do that unless you want to go to jail.
Which race are you most looking forward to this year?
I would say LA, just because I'm from Los Angeles and that's my home race, but I'm honestly looking forward to all of them. I think it's going to be a really good year for us.
When you have time, what other forms of racing do you follow?
I follow a lot. I follow IndyCar. Especially, we have an IndyCar team, and I still follow NASCAR. Obviously, I'm not doing that anymore, but I'm pretty embedded in that for a while, so I'm still a big fan and watch a lot of the guys I used to race against, and Formula One. I mean, all sorts of different motorsports I watch.
I'd now like to throw it out to my co-host, Michael Mullally in Afraid of Washington, who has about 5 questions for you as well.
Okay.
So, you have obviously raced a lot of things, and I know different things have different challenges, but for you, what has been the most challenging thing you have raced?
I would actually say GRC. It's still hard because you don't know what to expect versus when I did NASCAR stuff, even like when I did Skip Barber, go-karting, or if you don't know what's going to happen each lap. It's just so competitive, and it's just so crazy. And with the mix of asphalt, dirt, a big jump, the track's changing so much every lap that you don't really know what to expect in the next corner, and it just keeps you up on your toes and makes it really hard to be consistent. But the key with GRC to be really good in the points for the championship is to be consistent, so it makes it quite hard.
What is your favorite series that you have raced so far?
I mean, it's definitely GRC. I liked all the different racing. The GRC just for me has been a big challenge, and the cars definitely suit my driving style quite a bit. And I really like kind of an action sports kind of stuff. And I kind of, growing up in Los Angeles, we had X Games here for so long, and getting to see it from grassroots and to what it's become is pretty cool to be a part of that.
Do you ever plan to race, like, the NASCAR kind of stuff again?
Yeah, I mean, obviously GRC is my priority, and that's kind of what I'm building my future and foundation on, but I definitely would love to get back in a NASCAR and do some races here and there if it becomes possible.
If you could give any advice to other race car drivers seeking sponsorship, what would your advice be?
That's a hard one. Definitely racing. We rely on having sponsors for every single level, and just not to give up. I mean, you got to make a good deck for yourself, and you have to pitch yourself and sell yourself, and just can't be afraid of picking up the phone and making 50 calls a day and hearing no every single time and hoping that you'll get that yes out of maybe 200 calls, and just keep pushing.
I know you race now for Brian Herta. Do you have any plans in the future? Has he approached you at all about racing possibly in the IndyCar series sometime in the future?
I don't know. I don't think that's not been brought up. We're just focusing on the GRC stuff. But you never know. I wouldn't be afraid of helping a car, but I'd have to do a lot of practice.
And which one of the tracks do you think is the most challenging that the Global Rallycross Series goes to?
I mean, honestly, they're all hard. They all have so many different challenges. Every track will kind of be so much different that it's really hard to say. There's the tracks like Daytona and Barbados that are quite higher speed tracks that are on a natural road course that they kind of add some stuff for us to race on. But then we have tracks like D.C. and L.A. and Detroit, which are in almost parking lots that they build these crazy, amazing tracks in. So it's so hard to say which one's harder. They're all quite hard, and they're all different, have their own kind of characteristics.
What part of racing in Fort Lauderdale are you most looking forward to?
Just getting back in... into a race. I haven't raced since our race in Las Vegas last year, so it's been a really long off season. I'm just really looking forward to getting back to racing and having a really good year.
Well, we wish you lots of luck this season and hope you have a really good race in Fort Lauderdale and for the rest of the season as well.
Cool. Thank you very much, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much for coming. Have a nice evening.
You too.
Once again, that was Austin Dine of Brian Herta Rally Sport. And we thank him very much for coming on the program and wish him and his team lots of luck this year. It should be an awesome year for Brian Herta Rally Sport. They've made some adjustments this season, and it looks like this might be their year, but it's still too early to tell. So you're going to have to go to the Red Bull Global Rallycross website or their Twitter page and check out how to get tickets to go see one of the local events near you. Their first event, as we've mentioned few times this evening, is in Fort Lauderdale on May 30th and 31st. So be sure to grab your tickets now. It's only a few weeks away. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar, or simply going to facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. Check out the racing news section for the latest information on the Red Bull Global Rallycross, IndyCar, as well as some IMSA stories I've done this past week.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again next week in the Thunderdome when we welcome Jonathan Bomarito, driver of the Mazda SkyActiv prototype for SpeedForce, as well as Kevin Buckler, team principal of the Racers Group.
Good night, and we'll see you next week.